Tra Nibishnehas Tat Tat Prapya Subhashubham Nabhinandati Nadveshti Tasya Pragya Pratishtata. In the material world, one who is affected by whatever good or evil he may attain, neither praising nor despising it, firmly fixed in perfect knowledge, such a person is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There is always some upheaval in the material world, which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one is in the material world, there is always the possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good, absolute. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi. With the kind permission of the assembled devotees, on behalf of my beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we would like to speak briefly from this beautiful sloka, the 57th text of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Krishna is herein describing what is real knowledge. Today in our universities and various other academic institutions, young people spend so many years of their lives in cultivation of knowledge. Krishna explains there are two types of knowledge. There is knowledge of this relative world, and there is knowledge of the absolute truth, which is the underlying principle of all existence. And to understand how these two forms of knowledge can be coordinated through our practical life, that is the path of perfection. To understand what is this material world, who are we, what is God, and what is the relationship between these principles, is true knowledge. And it is only this type of knowledge that can bring about real peace. It is only this education which can bring about a revolution of consciousness. There are so many problems in this world, and we are endeavoring in so many ways to find refuge from the sufferings that these problems cause. But this world is full of uncertainty. But the teachings of Gita give us the means and the ways by which we can find the real solution to all of the problems of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests through exemplary behavior, through his devotees, practical ways by which we can understand the teachings of Gita. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one such story. It is the story of Maharaj Chitraketu. He was a great king. He was not just the king of one province or one country. He was the king of the entire planet Earth. He had such beautiful, beautiful opulences, wonderful palaces. He had great power and influence. He had a wonderful family. He had many, many wives. Each of them had beautiful eyes like lotus petals and was elegant in every respect. So today in our society, people work so hard to get just a drop from the ocean of the wealth and prestige that Maharaj Chitraketu possessed. But with it all, he was unsatisfied because he did not have a son. He had no children. He tried again and again and again. Although he was personally quite able to have children, it just didn't work. And he would marry more and more beautiful queens, attempting, but by the will of Providence, he was frustrated. This is the way of material life. However great, however successful we may be, at any moment, everything could change into a disaster. And whatever we have, if there's one thing that we want that we do not have, that one thing will possess our minds to such an extent, we will long and crave for that so intensely that all the things we have obtained in this world will give us no satisfaction. Krishna explains in Gita, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. This material world is a place of misery because we cannot be satisfied with any arrangement. The great poet Govinda Das has prayed, Kamaladala Jala Jivana Talabala. That all of the so-called pleasures and securities we have in this life are like a drop of water situated on the leaf of a lotus flower. At any moment, it definitely will fall away. There is no security in this world. Our Guru Maharaj would often use the example. The late President John F. Kennedy of the United States. He was the most successful man in the world by material standards. He was a multi-millionaire. He had the most prestigious position of the President of America. He had a beautiful wife, wonderful children. He was young and handsome himself. He had powers of the greatest armies at his fingertips. And not only that, but practically the whole country loved him and were willing to do whatever he wanted. And one day, when he was being welcomed by so many of his supporters and friends in Dallas, Texas, he was driving in his motor car, and he was in the process of being praised and glorified. and he was enjoying the situation very much. But at the next moment, a small bullet entered his body, and everything was finished. His position, his money, his power, his family, his very life, within a second, was all taken away. This is material world. When I was a young boy, I remember something that very much interested me. The most wealthy and powerful of the Rockefellers, his son was on a sociological expedition, and he was killed and eaten by some uncivilized people that he was doing his PhD report on. And the father suffered so terribly. What is the use of being Mr. Rockefeller if you're totally miserable? With all of his billions of dollars and all of his fame, he frankly told the world that I will never find one moment of happiness in my life because my son is dead. In this material existence, we are all being controlled. We have very limited scope of what we can control. And therefore, ultimately, all of our attempts for peace will be frustrated. Padam padam yadbi padam natesham. Because there is danger at every step. So Maharaj Chitraketu, so successful, so powerful, so wealthy, and so miserable. Because one thing in his life didn't work. So one day, the great sage Angira Muni came to his palace. And Maharaj Chitraketu, being a civilized man, welcomed him with great honor, sat him on his throne, and sat at his feet on the floor. And Angira Muni inquired, "You look like you are very sad." It is said that saintly people, they can see through looking at the face of someone what is their condition of heart. So Maharaj Chitraketu replied, "Yes, everything is going so well in my kingdom. But because I have no son, my life is uselessly wasted and I am suffering terribly. Please, I beg you, you are a great rishi, make some arrangement by which I can have a son. Then I will be happy." So Angira Muni performed a yajna and gave the prasad that had come from the Lord, from the yajna. He said, "You take this and give it to your favorite wife." And soon after that, the wife became pregnant. But Angira Muni warned that this child will be Harsha Shoka. He will give you great pleasure, and he will also give you great lamentation. So Chitraketu Maharaj was thinking, a little, maybe he will not obey me, little lamentation, but I'll be so happy to have a son. People who are too much materially attached, they cannot hear the warnings of the Lord, the scriptures, or the great saints. So the child was born, and the whole kingdom celebrated, and Maharaj Chitraketu and the mother of the child, their hairs were literally standing on end in joy. And every day as they saw the child growing, their joy grew simultaneously. He filled their hearts utterly. They lived simply for this child. They always talked of this child. But it is material nature that one person's happiness will always cause somebody else's misery, because it is a world of dualities. However much you have, someone else has less. To the degree you enjoy, people will become envious. That is human nature in the conditioned life. So the other wives of Chitraketu Maharaj became burning, incensed with envy. They could not tolerate that they were not the mother of the only son. They could not tolerate that this one woman was getting so much attention and so much popularity amongst the whole kingdom, and it wasn't coming to them. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richchiti. That if we want real peace, we must understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. He is the Lord of everything that exists. Our lives should be meant for His glorification. But when we want to be glorified and we want to enjoy, then we are potentially envious of everyone, even our own mother or father or sister or brother, even our best friend. We are potentially envious of anyone and anything. When we have this desire for material enjoyment, and we see in this world what terrible conditions are brought about, some years ago, I was in France, and there's a beautiful place called the Louvre. It's a wonderful museum in Paris. At one time, it was a fantastic palace, and so many other palaces by one king. And what he would do, he would invite so many other kings to see the beauty of his palaces. Wonderful acres and acres, miles of gardens and fountains and flowers. The greatest artists in the world painted precious paintings on every wall. Wonderful carved marble. Everything so precious. And all of these princes and kings and noblemen from other places, they came, and he was thinking that when they see what a wonderful thing I have done, they will very much honor me. And externally they honored him, but internally they hated him. They envied him. They were thinking, why he has this, why not me? So you may get nice Mercedes-Benz and you will think people will be impressed. And externally they will be impressed. They will say, oh, you are very successful, my dear sir. You have a very nice car. But in their hearts, they're thinking, I hate you. This car is meant for me. Why you? Why not me? Why you're so proud to drive this around? Why you're putting yourself in a higher position than the supreme me? This way, the more you try to impress people, the more you get some external respect, but the more people envy you and hate you and simply pray for your downfall. That is material life. And ultimately, the very princes that this king entertained arranged a revolution and chopped off his head and took his palace for themselves. So when Maya promises you happiness, we should know that with every pleasure, there is a hidden misery that is to be revealed in due course of time. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, if you want to be happy in this world, just do one thing. Stop trying to be happy in this world, because it is a place of distress. It is a place of death. This is knowledge. So Chitraketu had a beautiful child, and he was so happy. But his co-wife, his various wives, were so envious, they couldn't tolerate it. So they secretly conspired and fed the little helpless baby child with poison. And one day the mother very blissfully called for the nurse, "Wake up my beloved child and bring him to me." And the nurse went, and the child was lame. And she called his name, but there was no response. She came closer and saw his eyes were rolled up in his head, and there was no symptoms of life in his body. She began to cry and called out, "Now I am doomed," and fell to the ground. When the mother heard this, she came running, and when she saw her child lifeless, she also, unable to withstand the suffering, fell to the floor unconscious. And the news spread throughout the kingdom, and people were weeping and crying. And when the information came to Maharaj Chitraketu, he was beside himself in utter grief. He was trying to run to the place his child was, and he was slipping and falling. And finally he came and he fell at the feet of the child, and when he saw it laying there dead, his heart exploded and broke in millions of pieces in utter pain. Krishna says in Gita, "Yehi samsparashicha bhoga dhuka jonaya evate, atyanta vanta konte anate shuramate buddha." An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery called pleasures in this material world, because they have beginning and end. To the degree we find pleasure in anything or anyone, to that degree we become naturally attached. And to the degree we are attached, to that very same degree we suffer when it is taken away, and it is unconditionally guaranteed that everything will be taken away. Perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow. In proportion to the bliss he experienced, the poor king suffered. And there was nothing he could do. He was helpless. With all of his money, with all of his armies, with all of his power, with all of his intelligence, with all of his physical beauty and strength, he could not bring this child back to life. He could not even rule his kingdom. At that time, Angira Muni, along with his friend Sri Narada Muni, came to the palace. And Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife and all of his relatives were literally drowning in an ocean of grief. Angira Muni began to explain, Narada Muni began to explain, that you should understand, my dear king, that the eternal soul is what gives life to the body. And this soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or Krishna. And in this material world, according to our previous actions and according to our desires, we are transported from one species of life to another, from one type of physical body to another. And all the relationships we have with others in this world are like pieces of sand, which sometimes come together and sometimes are separated by the waves of time in this ocean of material existence. He explained that all of our bodily designations and attachment to these things are the source of great bondage. Not only that, they are the source of all the problems in this entire creation. We are thinking, I am man, I am woman, I am Indian, I am American, I am of this caste or another caste, I am young or I am old. We have so many conceptions of who we are. This is my friend. This is my enemy. This is my relative. All these designations are temporary, illusory coverings of our true self. Narada Muni explained, when you understand that the soul is eternal, the soul of every living being is eternal, then you are on the path of truth. Then you are on the path of real happiness. When Kitchikketu heard these words, he bowed down to these great devotees and he begged them that you have come to my house to give me shelter, to rescue me from the miseries of my life. Please teach me how I can find real shelter at the feet of the Lord. At that time, Angira Muni explained that previously when I came, you were so much materially attached. You had so many material desires that I could not present the truth to you. All I could do is give you a means to fulfill your material desires, warning you that it will cause you suffering. Krishna explains in Gita that less intelligent people, they approach the devatas, the demigods, to fulfill their material ambitions. They want a wife or a husband. They want children. They want money and success. They want power and prestige. They want good health for this temporary form of the body. But Krishna explains that ultimately the demigods get their power from Krishna himself to fulfill your desires. But the fulfillment of your desires will create misery in the future. Therefore, we should not approach any saintly people, nor should we approach God or the demigods for such cheap, insignificant benedictions. We should approach for the real treasure, the treasure of an eternal life, the treasure of devotion to the Lord. Chitraketu, because all of his dreams for happiness in the material world were shattered in the association of devotees, he begged for something eternal. He begged for Krishna consciousness. At that time, Narada Muni, by his mystic power, spoke to the corpse of the dead child and requested him to come back to life and explain to his relatives why he had left and where he has gone. So the dead child came to life and began to speak. You want me to speak to my mother and father? Which mother and father? I am not this body that is dead. I am the eternal soul, the consciousness giving life to this body. And the soul is transcendental. This soul has been passing through 8,400,000 species of life. This soul has had millions of mothers and millions of fathers and millions of consorts. And each one of them during that life we become so attached to. We cannot live without them. But then in our next life, we don't even have the slightest remembrance of all of these relationships in the past. They are as significant as a drop of water on a lotus leaf. And yet, we base our whole life around these attachments. The baby explained that Krishna is the Supreme Truth. We are all part of Him. You should not lament, my dear father, because I am not dead. I am simply moving on according to my destiny. And then the child lay down, and all symptoms of life ceased to be. When Chitraketu heard these words, he became enlightened. He understood that he should not spend his life uselessly trying to build castles in the sand on the shore of the ocean of material life. Sometimes we see little children on the beach. They work all day to build little castles out of sand. And they put so much of their creative energy, so much of their life into making it so nice. But as the day comes to a close, the tide begins to grow, and the waves start coming closer and closer and closer to the castle. And the child becomes very, very much afraid. The child starts doing everything he can to protect his work of art. Sometimes he builds trenches to catch the water. Sometimes he builds walls, dams to stop the water. Sometimes he even lays in front of it to try to block it with his own life. And the waves come closer and closer and closer until that fateful wave comes. And the castle of sand merges into the ocean. And the child cries and weeps. And what do the parents do? They do not take it seriously. They laugh. They feel sorry for the child for being so foolish. But they laugh. This is the story of material life. The great sages and the great rishis, they see everyone within this society not only spending their day, but spending their whole lives building castles of sand in this material world, developing their businesses, developing their empires, developing their families, making wonderful, wonderful arrangements for so many forms of sense enjoyment. But the waves of time are coming closer and closer. And then that one wave comes and washes everything away. So the Shastras explain, we should not waste our human life for these things. We should live our human life for its real purpose. Atato brahma jigyasa. To make an inquiry into what is truth, who is God, and what is my relationship to God. To approach saintly people, those great empowered devotees of the Lord, begging as Maharaj Chitraketu begged, please tell me how I could perfect my life, how I can find real shelter in my eternal relationship with God. Narada Muni initiated Chitraketu Maharaj in a mantra containing the names of Lord Krishna. And he told him that with a sincere and faithful heart, you should every day with strict regulation, you should chant this prayer, glorifying the name of God. And through this process, you will gradually become purified, purified of attachment to the dualities of material existence. So Maharaj Chitraketu began to chant the holy names of the Lord. And gradually, he became more and more and more detached from illusion and attached to Krishna. And through chanting these holy names under the instruction of this great soul, his heart became cleansed, and he was given the blessed darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he surrendered to the Lord Sri Krishna, he found the fulfillment of all of his soul's desires. And Krishna explained to him that because you have taken shelter of the instructions of my devotees, therefore I am making myself present to you. And now your life is a perfect success. Krishna consciousness is the original consciousness within every living being. We should understand from this story what we should be living for. We have a family, perhaps. We have so many responsibilities in this world. Krishna explains in the Gita how to live in the very condition of life you are now in such a way that you progress toward perfection rather than degrade yourself toward deeper and deeper bondage. The Vaishnava philosophy explains that this material world is not false. This material world is temporary. And when we utilize the temporary assets in this material world toward the true purpose of life, then we find that we can make real progress spiritually. This is called Yukta Vairagya. How to utilize everything in the service of Krishna. This body is Krishna's body. It is not your body. If it was your body, you would have the power to say, do not get old. You would have the power to say, do not disease, never die, and it would obey. But this body belongs to material nature. And by the laws of nature, it is getting old, and it is getting diseased, and so many other things. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. And Krishna explains that I am the proprietor of material nature. So this body belongs to God. When we accept that principle, and when we use our body for the pleasure of God, for the service of God, when we keep it healthy, when we keep it fit, when we keep it clean for God's service, those very endeavors to care for the body liberate us from all sufferings. If we have a family, we should know it is Krishna's family. It is not my family. And therefore, I should deal with this family in such a way to develop such sweet and loving relationships centered on devotion to God. If we recognize our family in relationship to Krishna, and we live within our family to pray together, to chant the names of God together, to take prasad together, to worship the deity in the home together, to live a pure life and inspire one another spiritually, not only does our family develop the most intimate, loving relationship with each other, but we are all genuine well-wishers, progressing together towards spiritual perfection. We have a home. Krishna does not say, give up your home. He says, make your home my temple. And anyone can do it. The only thing that is preventing us is our unwillingness to do so. It is natural. Today in big cities like Bombay, there is so much social pressure to put God on a shelf and open the shelf a few minutes a week and take him out and say namaskar and do some puja and then lock him up and do whatever you like the rest of the week. And if someone comes to the temple to associate with sadhus regularly, if someone is chanting the name of God regularly, reading the scriptures regularly, giving up, wasting his time going to cinemas and televisions and discos and all of these other things, people will say, what are you doing? This is not religion. This is fanaticism. Religion means you enjoy life to your full extent and you don't hurt anybody. You be nice. But what religion teaches that? Krishna explains in Gita, Sarava dharaman puritya ja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarava papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. You should abandon all these nonsense ideas. And you should surrender to me at every moment. And he explains in the Gita how everybody can practically surrender to Krishna at every moment. We require the association of sadhus, of people who genuinely, honestly are surrendering to Krishna at every moment. A real sadhu could be wearing a coat and tie. He could be working in a business. Real sadhu doesn't mean simply the saffron cloth. A real sadhu is someone who is genuinely and honestly dedicating his life, his family, his words, his wealth, his everything for the betterment of humanity and the purification of his own heart. And it is practical. Sanatan Dharma is a way of life that we could all live and become peaceful, become blissful. But we have to be willing to stand up against all the social pressure based on ignorance. The Bhagavatam explains that in the eyes of God you have no right to become a mother, a father, a teacher, a politician, or a guru, unless you can teach your dependents by your example and words in such a way that they never have to suffer birth or death again. Your duty to your children is not just to feed them and give them a nice place to stay and give them an education wherein they will be able to feed and have shelter for themselves. Because the animals are doing that as good as you. The animals are feeding their children. The animals are building a nice nest for their family. The animals are enjoying sex life and defending themselves. Human life is meant for something much greater. Human life is meant to center all of our activities, our thoughts, and our words around devotion to God. And this is the wealth and heritage of India. People do not come to India for material technology. India goes everywhere else for material technology. But since time immemorial, people have come to India to understand the highest, purest, and truest science, the science of self-realization. When I was a young boy in the 1960s, I was living in the United States of America, surrounded by so much affluence and prestige so many enjoyments. But I saw that no one was happy. It was empty. It was meaningless. It was a frustrating civilization. I wanted to know, what is the truth? What is God? What is the meaning of life? What is the science of self-realization? And for this reason, without money, we hitchhiked across the whole of Europe, Middle East, to come to India, seeking what India has to offer the whole world. Spiritual culture, spiritual heritage, the philosophy of the Gita. But I was very surprised, because when I turned to the things of the West for all the things that I had already spit out, seeing through its futility, and I began to cry. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, Bharati, what is that verse? Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janmajar. That every single person who is born in this great land of Bharatvarsha, it is their duty of birth to live in such a way to deliver the message of Godhead throughout the whole world. And one such person from this native soil of Bharatvarsha took this instruction to heart and transformed this planet to such an extent. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When he met his spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was given the instruction that there's only one problem in the entire universe, and that is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution, and that is Krishna consciousness. And real compassion, real love, means to give Krishna to the world, to give Krishna to your children, to give Krishna to your friends, your family members, to give Krishna to the society. And our Guru Maharaj, hearing those words, dedicated his life to that principle. And at the age of 70, with only 40 rupees, he sailed across the Atlantic Ocean on a cargo ship to New York City, with no acquaintances to help him. He sat in a park and he chanted Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And he spoke these precious words of Bhagavad Gita. And thousands of people's lives transformed. By translating the Gita, the Bhagavat, and other such precious Vedic literatures, he asked his disciples to distribute them profusely throughout the world. And through the simple process of Hari Kirtan, distribution of these great literatures, millions and millions of people have found truth and perfection in their lives. And when Srila Prabhupada returned here to this great city of Bombay, he pleaded, he urged, all of you, kindly hear my words, he said. Do not forsake the diamond of Sanatan Dharma to chase after the broken glass of material prosperity, because it is an illusion. Learn to live according to this life of Krishna consciousness. It is practical. Tonight, in this beautiful audience, we see there are very successful businessmen. There are doctors and lawyers and architects and housewives and students and artists and farmers, people of all walks of life, and many of you are serious devotees, truly living like sadhus, utilizing all facilities for Krishna. Real love means to share Krishna consciousness. It is recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has appeared in this age of Kali Yuga, although he is Krishna himself, that in this age where there is so much material attachment, so much hypocrisy, so much spiritual laziness, by simply associating with devotees and chanting Krishna's holy names, we can achieve perfection. He explained we should give up our sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, those things which create bondage and terrible karma. We should associate with saintly people. We should go to beautiful temples where the name of God is being chanted, where the prasad of God is being distributed, where the message of God is being spoken. And we should take that inspiration into our own homes and live in that way. Krishna is none different than his name. The name of God has the power to purify all of our hearts and revive our original transcendental consciousness. As Maharaj Chitraketu, when he understood this principle, he took shelter of the name of God, and he was able to have the darshan of the Lord face to face and achieve life's perfection. That same perfection is available to every one of us today. So on behalf of my beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I would like to invite all of you, kindly try to understand his wonderful books. They are being sold at the door. Come to beautiful temples. In Juhu, there is a beautiful temple, Radha Ras Bihari Mandir. In Bayenda, there is Radha Giri Dhari Mandir. In Chopati, there is Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Learn the science of self-realization. Make your home a temple. Chant Hare Krishna.